Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, as today I am bringing to you our version of what we entitled From the Pulpit to the Couch. So today you will have the opportunity to speak with a licensed therapist along with the pastor and other callers that will be coming in, are calling in, as we address some of the issues that many believers and non-believers deal with on a day-to-day basis. Now, this show is not designed to basically insult anyone, offend anyone, or to basically burden individuals with more psychobabble as it relates to what they call being a holy roller or anything of that nature. We're here to edify the word of the God. We're here to encourage individuals and answer any questions that they may have in regards to their spiritual walk to develop a stronger spiritual walk. So, as usual, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning. And I'm waiting on the pastor to call in, even though we do have our first guest already on the line. But today's topic has to do with being a child of God. Now, basically being a child of God, like I said, we've heard of the cliche before, we've heard of that phrase, and so often we become immune to what it actually means for us in our everyday lives. Some would argue that the stronger the foundation is of our identity, that identity is rooted in being a child of God. Now, we know who our biological parents are. Some do, some don't. If one was adopted or basically was removed from their family of origin at birth. When we start talking about a child of God, what does that mean? Does that individual have more self-confidence? Do they become less insecure, defensive, or fearful than others are? Now, when you have a strong sense of identity, that can help you in your everyday life. Now, I want to join on the first caller. Let me log this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Good.
I want to thank you for joining me this morning. It's interesting because I'm sitting here with all of my many, many gadgets, and my internet is not even working over here. But for some reason, I'm still able to go online despite it saying it's not working. So, you know, that ain't nothing but God. I'm on the internet with a big old X on my computer telling me I'm not on the internet. So, again, I want to thank you for joining us. We're still waiting on the pastor to call in. Haven't heard from him. I did send him a text message to let him know, are you ready? Hopefully you haven't forgot about me. But I have you online. Now, today's topic is being a child of God. Now, being a child of God comes with a price. It also comes with, you know, when you're born, even with your parents, I remember telling my mother, I didn't ask to come here. You know, we used to say that, especially when we got in trouble, or I wish you wasn't my mother, or I wish you wasn't my father. Now, tell me from your perspective, but before I even go into that, I want to talk about, and I posted this on the description in regards to, do you know who you are? Who do you belong to? You may know your name and the names of most of your family members. However, do you know your Heavenly Father? Now, when an individual proclaims to be a child of God, what does that mean? Many have heard of the phrase, and some have difficulty with finding their purpose in life. Is it true that there's a privilege to be considered a child of God? Now, what do it mean to be a child of God for believers and non-believers? Now, I'm going to ask you, I want to hear your input in regards to that of being a child of God. What does that term mean to you?
Well, being a child of God is, to me, it means being saved, you know, because you just can't say, walk around and say I'm a child of God and you're out there doing God knows what under the sun. When you say you're a child of God, what you do, your acts, your, you know, child of God, you got to be willing to go through some things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you ain't dealing, If you ain't going through nothing, you ain't dealing with nothing, and everything's always hunky-dory for you, then I believe you better go get checked out again. Because, you know, when you accept the call of being a child of God, whether you say you're a woman of God, a man of God, you know, however you want to say, it comes with a price. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus had to pay a price. So if we want to be like him, we got to pay a price.
No, it's interesting you said that. It's interesting you said that because a lot of individuals, like I said, people that are listening on the air, some may be believers, some may be non-believers. And some believe that, and it indicates that it is said that God has given life to everyone who lives. You know, we always say whether a person go to church or don't go to church, they're still a child of God. However, many do not have a relationship with God. Many do not believe in God yet. Alone, trust God. Now, for those that will say and will basically contradict what you say in regards to, well, if God created the earth and God created man, how can you not say he's not my father or my heavenly father for those that believe or that don't believe? And sometimes it definitely becomes a challenge. Now, I found some information in regards even in the Bible, and they talk about Galatians 3:26. So in Christ, Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Now, faith is that one thing that many of us struggle with. Now, I'm also looking at some other information, and it says a person who have a self-schema based on any aspects of himself or herself as a person, including physical characteristics, personality traits, and interests, as long as they're considered that aspect of their self-important to their own self-definition. Now, a lot of times when we talk about ourselves, we get confused in regards to what that actually means. Now, I have another caller on the line. Let me log this person on and hear what they have to say. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Okay. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air. Lab number 2176. May I help you? Hello? Okay, I'm going to have to mute them because they're not even saying nothing. I can just hear them talking in the background, so they hung up. Now, and you know what is crazy? Because now my phone line is blowing off the hook, and I got to keep texting people back, telling them I can't talk. It seems like people don't want to call me until I'm ready to go on the radio. So now, in regards to when we talk about the Bible, and they say the Bible is basically the book of instructions before leaving Earth. Now, everything is basically written, and we know that there's some things that wasn't written in the Bible. Now, let me log this person on again. Let me see if they got something to say. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
Hey, Jeanette. This is Pastor Estelle. I'm in.
Okay. I'm glad you joined us because I had already sent you a text message, and I'm like, okay, where
exactly.
you at? Where you at?
I was completing another conference call, and so we're all set now.
No problem. I was telling Miss Tammy on the line, my internet is basically telling me I don't even have internet, so I had to find other ways and gadgets of getting things working. But it's saying no internet, but I'm still on the internet, so we're going to let it do what it do. I'm not going to worry about it. Now, we brought up the topic today, being a child of God. And some of the things that we talked about in regards to even in Galatians, when it talks about so in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. And then some have the perception, well, just because God created earth, God created man, I'm a child of God. Tell us from a biblical perspective as a pastor, what does it mean when we talk about being a child of God?
Okay. Because all of us are born in sin, and because what Adam did in the garden, we're born in separation. And we become children of God again, through salvation, through the precious blood of Jesus, when we accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior. And once we accept him, we go through several stages. We go from being an infant, a babe in Christ, to being a toddler in Christ, to being a young person in Christ, and ultimately we want to mature. And so that's what every believer strives for, as the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Romans. Especially in the 8th chapter. And so he talks specifically about us knowing that, you know, we can't even know God until we first know Jesus. We can't know Jesus without our Bible, And we can't know the Bible without the Spirit. And the Bible tells us specifically that we don't even go and search for God. He draws us. And as we draw nearer to him, he'll draw nearer to us. And so that's how we become children of God. And then once we become children, we have to get a strong foundation, and then our identity now has to be rooted in God. And through that, that's how we develop our relationship with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's how we become stronger, and we develop more self-worth also. And so Paul uses terms in the Greek when he's talking about it in Romans chapter 8. So he talks about us when we were first born. We start out as a nepios, and a nepios is an infant, it's a child, and we're completely depending on the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And that's when we first become born again. And that's what nepios in a sense of a Christian means. And so we still are in bondage under the elements of the world. We still are being led by the flesh in a lot of areas. We still are unskilled and unwise in the Word of God. But God gives us time to grow. And so by obedience and by seeking the Lord and staying in his Word, getting in a good Bible-teaching church, getting under good leadership, we grow from that stage, from a nepios, okay? And we go to the next stage. So that's what it means about being a child of God. We, you know, in psychology terms, you know, we talk about different schemas, and we could talk about, you know, how we are always letting ourselves down as we look at different schemas in our personality. And we look at that, and then we look at being a child of God. And the relationship in being a child of God is so key, because that's the only really real schema that's not going to let you down, okay? God is never
going to let his children down. And so in ourselves, we're going to have identity crisis.
We're going to deal with things. But the identity of a child of God can never, ever be threatened or taken away from a believer, okay? In fact, it says that that is the only identity that we have that can't be taken away. We grow through various stages. We deal with certain issues. Some things we can't help, Jeanette, because of the family we're born with, the parents who we're born into. Some of us have issues with fatherhood, quote unquote, because we didn't grow up with the father. Some of us didn't grow up with any parents at all. You know, if we look at cultures, there's a lot of cultures where parenthood and where specifically the head of the household, the father, is really under attack by the enemy. And so when we look at that word overall in the whole scheme of things, and I look at it, if I want to share my personal testimony too, God is really the only father who's always been there and hasn't let me down.
And you know, Pastor, and it's interesting that you said that, because I just celebrated my birthday. And I, my daughter, because I'm not a crier. I'm not emotional. I walk around like don't nothing bother me. But then when I woke up on Thursday before my birthday, I was like, this is the first year I don't have a mother or a father to call and tell me happy birthday. And I was feeling some kind of way. But then I realized that I had other people. I hung out with Ms. Parks from 9 o'clock in the morning to 12:30 the next morning. And we had a good time. And she said, it feels more like my birthday. Because God will never leave you nor forsaken you, and he will always send you a comforter. And so it's kind of weird, because sometimes God will place people into your life just to let you know that you're going to be okay. And when we look at it being a child of God, a lot of individuals become envious of that. They wonder where you get your strength from, where you get your courage from, because when you know who you are and whose you are, and then you don't deal with a lot of that stuff. And you were going into Romans, and with Romans 8:19, it talks about the creation waits an eager expectation for the revelation of the sons of God. Tell us a little bit about that in regards to Romans, because a lot of us don't read our Bible or know our scripture.
Well, that's a, That's the main thing. This is that text and that scripture is so germane to the topic on today. And it's expressed by Paul in those terms because we're to be Christ-like. And if anyone, you know, was obedient and in line with their father, it was Christ. He found it no less of himself to take on the role, the form of man, to take on the form of flesh, to come down off his throne and to do this by the instructions of the Father, to have a pathway for mankind, to also to come back into relationship with the Father. And so when we look at the book of Romans and we look at Christ, Christ says that we're heirs and joint heirs now. And as children, a father is always going to take care of his children. And we get the full benefits of our blessings from the Father when we are obedient. And we can't even be obedient without reading the Word of God. And so to me, this is really about relationship on today. So we're dealing with a lot of people that have, I'm going to use the term identity crisis. They're having an identity crisis because we're going to let ourselves down, okay? God is never going to let us down. The enemy will pick on us and tell us, well, how can we be a child of Christ if we're struggling? Or how can we be a child of Christ if we've gone through divorce? Or how can we be a child of Christ if we're in an anger situation with someone? Or how can we be a child of Christ if we're dealing with an issue? And so the enemy targets our self-esteem. He targets our self-personas. He targets us to make us feel unworthy. And so what you have in that situation is that Paul's trying to clarify through Romans and let us know, Jesus is still with you. He's right there beside you. He's your brother. God is right there beside you too. He knew you before the very foundations of the world. He knew all the struggles that you were going to go through, and he still sent his son to die for you because he is the ultimate father.
And you know, Pastor, when you talk about even with Romans, even in John 1 through 12, and it indicates, but to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And sometimes we think that's an entitlement issue. And a lot of times we don't want to do the work. And we're going to go into part of the discipline because just like with any other parent, and we talk about being a child of God, I remember when I was a kid growing up and I used to believe and I used to say, if God is such a loving God, why do we fear him? Why are we supposed to be afraid of God? And that just didn't make no sense because I used to always say, I ain't scared of nothing. I ain't scared of nothing. But it also indicates that the love of the Lord stays forever for those who fear him. So just like that parental figure, you want to make sure that you are obedient. You want to make sure that you are living and you are dealing and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, what about that fear of your father?
Yes. It's very interesting because Paul still talks about that in Romans 8 also. And he goes into it more in Corinthians. And so typically what happens in a household, in a two-parent household, children will start out with their first instructions from the mother. They will get their guidance. They will start learning. They will start growing from their mother. And then as they become older, you know, there's a saying in different cultures where wait till your father gets home. Oh, I'm going to tell your father. And now you're going to have to deal with your father. And so the father becomes the disciplinarian. And so we see those steps. And oftentimes, in a spiritual sense, we oftentimes will pray to Jesus first, as we should, because it's easier to go through the Son than to go directly to the Father. It's the same way in the household. We asking, well, what do you think Dad going to think about this? Well, what do you think Dad going to say about that? We feelers out and get a feel first, okay, before we go directly to the Father. And so the Father becomes a disciplinarian, and there's a fear, but in a healthy household, and especially in the church, in the body of Christ, it is a fear that is a loving fear, one that is teaching, one that is healthy, and one that has us look at every side of a situation. So I used to often say that I didn't get in trouble with some things because I was too afraid of what my mom was going to say, or what my daddy was going to say. And that helped me reinforce what was already in me. And so as children of God, we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, but having that healthy fear of the Father reinforces that. And what that does is cause us to get to our blessings sooner. And so when we have an harmonious spirit, and when we have a spirit that's being blessed, you have a spirit that is often more, how can I say, that is more conducive to obedience.
And, you know, and that obedience is something, like you said, when we're living in the world and some individuals are double-minded. And it also talks about when the Bible speaks of God's children fearing him, it doesn't mean to be afraid and scared. It means a deep respect and the understanding of God's power to be God. And that's where a lot of people struggle in regards to that fear and that power. And, you know, even though a lot of times we'll go to our parents, we ask our parents for things, and that's why we talk about, I'm going to stand on this word, and I believe, I know it's going to come true, because if he said it, if it's written, it's going to come to fruition. Now, even though we know sometimes our earthly fathers don't want to give us everything we ask for, but when we talk about God, that's a different scenario. Let's go into that a little bit, because a lot of times we run to our parents, Daddy, can I have this? Mama, can I have this? Now, well, what about your Heavenly Father?
Yes. I want to talk about his omniscience, and that is God that's all-knowing, and then his power side, God that's all-powerful. So he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, okay? And so he knows all, and then he has all power. And so that is a father that has full understanding, and that is a power that a father that has the power that can do everything. So every promise that God makes to you, he can bring to fruition. And so now the only thing is having a faith challenge. And here's what I mean. So we have the enemy who's targeting our identity every day, threatening us, okay? And we have an all-powerful Father. And so we are spirit beings, and we are yet flesh beings. And so the closer that we move to God in the spirit, the closer we are, the more powerful our faith grows. And as our faith grows more, you know, our relationship gets stronger. And as our relationship gets stronger, we don't question things of God. We're looking and we're seeking in expectation now. And so I know believers in all spectrums, Jeanette. I have believers that are struggling, and God is still their Father. I have believers who seem like, boy, when your blessings gonna stop, you know? And they're just blessed on every realm. And I have believers that are right there in the middle. And so what we have to understand, the difference is all those, is how we see our God. If I can't get anything else through to the listeners today, is to have them to understand that God sees us all the same. He's no respecter of person. And so we can't say God loves T.D. Jakes more than me. We can't say that God loves more than me. God loves us all as his children. And it is how we see him that determines our level in knowledge, our level in elevation, our level in blessing. And so the Father will release it to us with our faith, with our progression, as we go from being a nepios, a baby, to being a technon, which I call a teenager in Christ, all the way to being a huios. And that is maturing in Christ. Now, there's one more level. It's called a telios. And a telios is, you know, I'm going to say in my lifetime, I haven't seen no one, and I'm sure there is someone. I can only think about Enoch in the Old Testament, where the Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, that his relationship with God was so strong, and God knew him so well, and his faith was so strong, that it said that the Lord just took him. The Lord took him because there was no one that was more faithful, that understood the ordinance of God, that followed the law of God, you know, that, and he seen him so much as a son that is it the Lord just took him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we're talking about relationship right there. And so
mm-hmm.
what happens is we have a lot of believers that, and we touched on this somewhat last week, that are been in church a long time and they're still babies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, I can't give you grown folk stuff until you start growing and you become grown. And we're
wow.
on this vicious cycle, this vicious circle, okay? And so, you know, we're seeing other folks getting blessed around us in church. We're seeing other folks seem to be progressing in church. And so the Lord is saying, you know, I'm giving you good word. You're getting good preaching. You're getting good teaching. And he says, you know, when is it going to stick? When is it going to open up your mind and give you the understanding that I need you to grow? And so
mm-hmm.
I feel I'm being pushed to say this right now, in that we're not talking about salvation. When you're born again, you're saved. So the relationship with your Father and am I a child of God, we're talking about your activity here on earth as being saved and being a Christian until we all get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
and some of us have a – yes.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. And then I'll say –
some of us have a great relationship with the Father and some of us don't.
Mm-hmm. And I want to piggyback on that. But if you want to call in and you want to join in on this conversation – you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. And like I said earlier, we only ask that you be respectful and that we don't talk over one another. And, Pastor, I want to say in regards to this, a lot of individuals struggle, especially if they struggle with their relationship with their biological parents. And the thing is, not only just with the faith, but also in trust. I attended a training last week, and it had to do with trauma. And it talked about trauma from a lot of different perspectives in regards to poverty, how that, you know, can create trauma in an individual. It talked about institutional trauma. It talked about how individuals sometimes go from being a victim to becoming a survivor. Now, when we start talking about trusting God, and if we're willing to trust God, Jesus, with our eternal life, we can trust him for our life here on earth. And this is, if Jesus loved us so much to die for us, he surely loves us enough to take care of us while we're here on earth. So a lot of times we've been traumatized, we've been hurt. Many individuals still struggle with the fact that God can take care of us physically, meaning our body, emotionally, our feelings, our minds, and spiritually, our spirit, soul, and mind. Now, what about that when we start talking about just that trust? Because we talk about the faith, but what about that trust?
Yes. It's I'm going to start back again with building the foundation. And the foundation has to be in the Bible. In the Bible, there are people that have just good parents and good solid foundations, and they had a trust in God. And then there's individuals that were just complete failures, and they came to know God and had trusted him. There were idolaters, worshipers of idols that came to know God as their Father and to trust in him. And so it doesn't matter the background, because, again, we have to see God as being sovereign. We have to see God
mm-hmm.
as being the way maker. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Shalom. He's Jehovah Rafika. And
mm-hmm.
it comes back to the trust again. And so as individuals, we're going to let ourselves down. As natural-born parents, our parents are going to let us down. And a lot of times it's not because of, let's say, a negative situation. It might be just because of their limitations and where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my mom had $1 million and she knew I wanted it right now to build a church, my mom would give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt in that. But my mom doesn't have $1 million, and there's no sense of me being angry at my mom for not giving me something that's past her limitations.
And you know what,
now,
Pastor? And sometimes your mom may know you're not ready for it. And see, that's the way God works sometimes, too. We may want it, but we may not be ready for it. You know, like they say, God
exactly.
don't give us more than we can bear. Or like you're talking about these different steps that we have to mature. And maturity don't
mm-hmm.
come in age. and that's the thing with a lot of us. We want it, and we want it now. We want that immediate gratification. Just give it to me now. Let me know you're real. And we struggle with that. And sometimes we're not.
Yes.
It's like a child on a bike. And you tell that child, well, you know what? I don't think you can ride this bike. You got to have these training wheels, and then somebody's going to hold you, and then now we can let you go. But then when God lets you go, then you are still out there, but God still has not left you.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right. This thing about the believers and God and then trusting in the Lord as our Father, it goes to so many levels right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about again for a minute. I want to go back to identity if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul talks about it a lot. We have this thing where we tend to want to identify with God when we have a need. And we want to be in a different identity in other situations. And so God wants us to call him Father over everything. He wants us to put all things in his hands, all decisions, you know, every direction, every
mm-hmm.
Thought, if we can, to put it in God's hands. It's just like a bad child, I'm saying that, or a misguided child, and they're going to come to their parents when they need and when they want something, and then when they got what they need, they don't understand that there's a reciprocal, okay, a part of the agreement
mm-hmm.
there, that the parent want to see you sometime. The parent wants you to stop through. The parent wants you to send them a card, tell them you love them, pick up the phone and call them too, not just when you
mm-hmm.
want something. And so
mm-hmm.
with us, when we begin to identify God as our Father, we have to also understand that I am the child. And if I'm the child of the living God, I want to show respect for my Father, but I also want to give him praise. I want to be kind. I want to carry some of the traits and the identity qualities of my Father. And how do I get them, Jeanette? Because God the Father, I don't talk to him like my dad. I can't touch him
mm-hmm.
like my father. I can't sit beside him like my father. So I get to know him through the logos, through the written word. And then he begins to talk to me through the rhema, through the spiritual thought of what I'm reading in that word. And then I start to develop a relationship with him because I see things fall into place. I see things
mm-hmm.
that God is telling me through dreams, what he's telling me through his word, what he's telling me through the preached word of God and the written word of God. And then my relationship begins to grow. And as that begins to happen, that identity carries over into other aspects of my life. It carries over in my relationship with others, which is very key and germane. It carries over into my relationship at work. It carries over into my relationships in my community. Because God is the same way, if we want to go back to the natural sense, he is. He's like, look at my child down there cutting up. Now look at my child over there on that job acting up. Now look at my child over there acting
mm-hmm.
up. You know? And so he cares, okay? And
mm-hmm.
so he is never going to be the dad beat dad and stop paying child support. He's never going to be
mm-hmm.
the absentee father that's not seen. He's never going to be, okay, the just a biological father only, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. And so he wants to be hands-on in our life. He wants to be a part of us, and he wants us to become just like him. And so
mm-hmm.
identity is very key. Because we want to come to the state to where people can look at us and they see God.
Yeah.
Whew, that's powerful.
You know, and you know what?
Yes.
It's interesting you said that. I had because you know I run up and down these highways like it's crazy. And every time I'm on
yes.
the freeway, I always see an accident. All I have to say is it could have been me, but thank God it's not me or wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I met with some individuals yesterday, and one of the things is sometimes we got to realize we got to let God work through us. And I got a complaint, and I got a compliment, and you get a complaint, and you get a compliment. And it's crazy because when you know that you are a child of God, you know everybody's not going to like you. And you got to be okay with that, and that's part of the identity of knowing who you are. And one of the things she indicated, and I want to read it, it was funny. She says, "Hello, Jeanette. I have to tell you how honored I was to meet you this morning. What was truly awesome, you are what a truly awesome person should be. I appreciate your enthusiasm and really hope we can work together in my next life. Perhaps I have you as my mentor." And it was interesting because I showed up when I didn't have to show up. And sometimes as a child of God, you got to let God work through you. And people will see that in you, but sometimes going back to the identity, we get so caught up in what people want us to be or how they want us to look or how they want to. I told the lady when she was doing my camera thing, I was like, I ain't got no lipstick on, I ain't got no makeup on, I can't find it. I'm running around here like a chick with my head. But your identity, who are you? And a lot of times individuals struggle with that. And it even goes into Philippians also, 4:6, when Paul was talking, it says, be careful about nothing. Do not worry and be burdened with the care about things. Sometimes we get caught up in things because we look at God for prosperity. We look at God, well, why you ain't got this? Why you ain't got that? Why do you think this? Do you think that's more just in the flesh? Why do you think a lot of us, even as Christians, still struggle with that?
Yeah. again, we are offsprings of our Father, but the individuals you just identified, I'm going to take it in two sections. First, the young lady that wrote you the nice letter.
And you know what?
That is someone.
It was in my.
Yes.
It was in my not the trash, but it was in my spam. It didn't even come straight to me. I was so busy looking for the complaint. I couldn't even find a complaint. So I see a lady call me. She told me somebody had a complaint. She didn't tell me who the person was. But let me see if I can find it. So I'm trying to find a complaint. I go to the spam and I find a compliment in the spam. I wouldn't even have found it.
See? Right. See, that's the enemy's job to try to. He always going to try to bring in confusion and distraction, but God is going to make a way. And so what we have is that in this life, you have to value relationships. And a lot of times we want businesses to grow. We want our gifts to grow. We want our churches to grow and different things. And we have to understand that it's through relationship building. And when we base these models on the model that God the Father has with us, we can't go wrong. So two things that you talked about that it covers is having pride and having ego. And so God doesn't have any pride issue, and he doesn't have any ego issues. And he doesn't want his children to have those either. And I've seen it in all levels in ministry. And so I've seen pastors who were supposed to preach who get up in the pulpit and say, well, I was supposed to preach, but I'm not going to preach because all the ministers that came before me, you know, them preached up a storm, even though they weren't called to preach. And he says, well, I'm not preaching. And what's affected is the people now. And so instead of God the Father getting glory from his children, okay, so now self, now pride, all these things that are puffed up by the devil gets the attention. And so we have to understand how key we are and how germane a good relationship with the Father is, how that is the key to this whole discussion. It's the key to almost everything we're talking about today. And just like you said, God will release more stuff to you if he can trust you.
Yep.
God will bring more people into your life to mentor you, to take you to the next level. God didn't put us here on this earth to go on this journey alone.
And
so there's a lot of people that believe that.
And that's where it goes to when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we got the other listener on the line that's being real silent right now, so I know you're not asleep. So what do you have to say, miss? I guess she don't want to say anything right now. I don't know if she muted us or what. Okay. Again, if you want to call in on the line, you can give us a call, 516 516- 387-1914 if you have any questions. She's coming back. I can hear the background. So what do you have to say?
Hello?
Hello. We want to hear your comments. What do you have to say?
Oh, no, everything that was said was good. And before Pastor came on, I was going to say something along those lines as well about relationship and everything and being a child of God and how, you know, people know you're a child of God because everything you do, you say, reflects that. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, because sometimes you'll get people that will say, oh, wow, you know, she is a child of God. Oh, she blessed. You know, they say that because they just, and some people walk up and be like, oh, there's a glow about you. You know, you're just glowing. And, you know, we know that, you know, we know that the Lord is bright. You know, so we're like, oh, okay, so we're starting to look like our Father. Okay, we're starting to look like Him. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
we do belong to Him. We're His child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, and it's interesting because sometimes when you are and you have that glow about you, like because I was reading that letter, she says, in my next life, maybe I can have you as a mentor, meaning someone pouring into your life. You know, my friend Lisa, I always tell people, she ain't even on Facebook or none of that stuff, but she always encouraged me and would say things, and she would tell me, like, God knows He can trust you. Or, you know, and I'd be like, hey, Lord, I'm trying all this stuff I got to do and running here and running there. And, but I get up every morning and I do it because I'm being obedient. Now, when you're talking about the privileges of being a child of God, because some individuals might say, well, hey, I want a little bit of that. How can I be more like God? And there's things that you can do. Find you a good church. We're going to be doing this on every Tuesday at 11:30 to get individuals information. Now, I want to talk about, they talk about 7 breathtaking privileges of being a child of God. Now, because everything do come with a price, and sometimes, you know, when we're talking about that identity, one of the things it talks about is security. When you are a child of God, you do not win, but you enjoy your being a child of God. Now, but the child-parent relationship is not characterized by the fear of losing a relationship. You want that security of knowing that God will not leave you nor forsake you. Pastor, can you speak a little bit on the security of being a child of God?
Oh, yes. yes. The child of God, just like you said, being a child of God, we have to understand that the relationship is spiritual. And it's on that spiritual plane, on that spiritual realm. Even though we feel it in the natural, God is not affected by what we deal with in the natural. And so we deal with age. We deal with illness and sickness. We deal with limitations in this earth suit, in this body. But God the Father is above and beyond all of that. So we have mm-hmm. a Father who, as I touched on earlier, who's omnipotent, who's omniscient. And He is all, knows all, you know. And we don't have to worry about God letting us down, God not being there. The privileges of that relationship is having a key understanding of it. Is knowing that no matter what you're facing, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what's come up against you, greater is in you. Greater is in you because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That's a key relationship that we have with our Father, that He is not great in a sense of a little more or great in a sense of that long as He abides by certain principles and laws, He's stronger, like we deal with in this flesh and this earthly realm. No, He is superiorly, He is exponentially greater than anything that we're ever going to face and see. But it's getting that in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people can know things and hear things, but it's another thing to believe. It's another thing to latch onto it by faith. It's another thing to get that into your spirit where it's germane, where it becomes systemic. That means it's a part of your fiber and it's a part of your being. And you get to the place where can't nobody make me doubt my God. You know, statements
I
like
get
that.
To
can't
the next
nobody
one.
Make me doubt. Yes.
The next one, Pastor, is authority. And that's where you're going into, that authority. That's
yes.
another privilege. Tell the listeners a little bit about that authority. You all in the authority. Like you said, ain't nobody going to take
yes.
that from me. I have authority over this. So tell
right.
the listeners about the authority, which is another privilege that you have with being a child of God.
Well, we this is very, very important for the believer to understand because, again, being a child of God, our Father has all authority, all power in his hands. And the power and authority that he's released to us children now is the power to overcome and the power to achieve, the power to expand, the power to excel, okay? It's all within his purpose, though. And so God has a built-in mechanism that the child of God cannot ultimately abuse the power of God, okay? Individuals within the church can abuse each other and can hurt each other, okay, in the flesh realm, all right? But God does not allow his power, his spiritual power for us to be used in that way. And I have to explain it a little bit more because the believer tools, his children will know. His children be like, that ain't my father talking. That's not my father. Nuh-uh. Yeah, what are you talking about? And then now we have the authority to say no. We have the authority to put Satan in his place. We have the authority to put false prophets in their place. We have the authority to put haters in their place. And we can put them in place with the mechanism that God has given us. It's his word. We don't have to become physical and become ugly like worldly fathers and like worldly people. God teaches us how to do things the way his word has told us to, and that's what we learn how to do. We have to speak things. We have to believe on things. So many people, again, are into this this show me realm and this I need a sign realm right now. And I was talking to someone the other day. If you have trust and relationship in the Father, well, that's what we're talking about today, you won't be taken by those things. And so we have prophets. We have prophets that are prophesying, that are saying, that are looking at a man that's over 50 and that's overweight, and they're prophesying to him and saying, you're going to have a bad back and you're going to have bad knees. You know, that's nature. You know, and we see these things and they occur, you know, and people are saying, you know, my Bible gives me better sense than that. My God has given me better instructions than that. The Spirit has brought me along in a way. My Father has, you know, the Holy Spirit. That doesn't line up with the teachings of my Father. And so now I have the authority to rebuke. I have the authority not to hear that. I have the authority to go beyond that. Okay? I have the authority to say no to things and not let them hurt me and not let things stay on my mind and not let things get into my spirit and cause other sickness. You know, I have the authority, most of all, to get beyond me and not let me be my biggest hindrance. I have the authority to put myself in check now through the word of God. And so God, as a Father, gives us that. And the authority from the Father is key because there's nothing worse to me than an individual that's being locked up by the devil, that's being locked up by themselves, that's controlled by other people, and they have more power than them. And so when we understand the true authority and power that God has given us, we can elevate and go beyond any situation.
And you know what? And that's part of being a child of God, because when we are in the word, and like you said, we get caught up and we know that. Another one is because it's seven different privileges. The next one is intimacy, and then I want you to go into the assurance that you have with first the intimacy, because we talked a lot about that with intimacy, with the relationship and the assurance of being a child of God. Can you speak a little bit about that, Pastor?
Yes, I'm going to speak about that in two realms. The first is with mentors and our natural fathers, and then in the spirit realm. And in our talks that we've been having on these Tuesdays, at different points in time, we've mentioned fathers that have gone on now. We have Pastor Pounds. We have Pastor Amos. We have Pastor Buchanan. And then we have our pastor that we talked about a few weeks ago. These are fathers that that came into this area and they pioneered, so to speak. And we have fathers before them. And God knows that, because something I touched on earlier is that we still need to hear a voice. We still need to have someone that can sit us down and be the voice of God that we trust and that we can hear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. God has given us that. And so when my natural father wasn't around, I had Deacon Elliot, I had Pastor Amos, I had different ones who would talk to me as a father in the natural, but also in a father in the spiritual sense, because they knew the word and they were rooted and grounded in the word. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was intimacy. And what I mean by that is when they talked to me, I felt like I was the only one that they were talking to. I felt a kindness there. I felt the compassion. And we've joked on this too, you know, how you know my business, how'd you get into my business? And it's mm-hmm. because before we even talked, they prayed, they fasted, you know, and we came together and they said, Lord, remove me. And now, Lord, you speak. And now, Lord, let me mm-hmm. decrease and, Lord, you increase. And so because some people think they're so deep, and I don't care how deep you are, we still need to see a face. We still need to sit. We still need to sit at the feet of our fathers too. And what I mean by mm-hmm. that are church fathers. Okay.
Yeah.
And now, as a believer goes through those five steps from anepios all the way to atelios, we spend most of our time as a huios, and these are Greek terms for level of growth or childhood, you know, looking up to the father, maturity levels. We want to get to that place in the spiritual sense to where we have that intimacy with God, to where we can feel God.
Mm-hmm.
I look at nature and I see God. I look at my wife and I see God. I look at my children and I see God. I look at the work of my hands, you know, and I see God. And I look at the work in the body of Christ and I see God. But then when mm-hmm. I steal away and I'm praying in my prayer closet, that's what we call it, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm intimate with God, meaning that I'm pouring out my soul to him. I really want to break down this intimacy thing, because I'm telling God everything. Now, I know God knows everything, but he wants you to pour it out. He wants you to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell people so much, and then we're going to stop. And because there's that trust factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not true intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about, I've heard one of my favorite bishops talk about that with men, we're most intimate with our secrets. Women are most intimate with their body, and
mm-hmm.
with men, you know, if I tell you something, and if I tell you my greatest fear, and if I tell you my failure, and I tell you what happened to me as a child and different things, you know, and I'm telling someone I'm very intimate with, that's something you can't repeat. You're going to break that cycle.
Oh,
you're going to break that trust. Those are things that can't be brought back again. With a woman in a relationship with a man, her intimacy is in her body. Don't
mm-hmm.
break that, you know, when you break that, it's hard to get back that trust, that type of thing. And so, and it's reciprocal again. It's
mm-hmm.
back and forth. It's give and take. It's building trust. But our intimacy with God, again, we have to understand that we're the only ones on the side of disappointment. We're the only ones on the side that's going to come up short. We're the only one on the side that's going to do something out of line. God is not going to fail
mm-hmm.
us that way. And so
mm-hmm.
when we come to a point of maturity to understand that I have such intimacy with God that I can pour out my spirit, now I don't have to keep all this inside of me. I can reveal all my dreams and things because they come from him anyway.
Yeah.
I can go in church and I can praise and worship freely. Nothing is holding me down. I can
mm-hmm.
I can live my life, and I'm not being weighted down by the cares of this world. I'm not being cared
yeah.
down. I'm not being held by the words of some man and the words of some woman who didn't say I didn't look right and I don't talk right,
mm-hmm.
or teachers that say I'll never learn, or people on a job that says I don't even know why you're here. When we have
mm-hmm.
that intimacy level with God, we come to a place that if the master of the universe, and I'm saying universe because that's the best word that we have to describe it. We don't have no other words because he's a God of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If he accepted me and died for me, that's my legitimate card. That's my, you understand? I don't need you to qualify me now.
Yeah. And you know, Pastor, we got 5 minutes left on the air, but I want you to tap into these last three areas because these are the privileges. We have discipline, inheritance, and then we have what's considered the family likeness. Now, those things, because a lot of times we talk about the inheritance. So these are things that if you are struggling and you're straddling the fence between wanting to be a believer or a non-believer, we're going to keep this show going on Tuesdays to try to help individuals. You can call in so we can discuss it. So, Pastor, let's end the show talking about the family likeness, the discipline, and the inheritance, because we always want something out the deal. So what is it, the privilege of being a child of God?
Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but comes down to having complete trust in God and now having God reveal himself to another level with you. And so I don't have a lot of time to go into a lot of detail, but there have been major items, major events, major things that I wanted from the Lord. And God told me, okay, now let's discipline towards them. And so while you were saying those items, I wanted to say how they all connect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you want to be rich, you got to have discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you also have to have wisdom. Okay? And you also have to use what's been given to you. And so all those, that formula can connect and tie into so many other areas in our life. If you want to be a better person too, you know, I'm tired of being this way. I'm tired of being that way. I'm choosing the wrong mate. I'm tired of choosing the wrong friends. Then you have to have discipline. Don't be so quick to join up with somebody. Don't be so quick to have a sense of belonging and urgency, because the enemy is always going to come with counterfeit first. See, when you speak things, when you talk on things, God's not the only one listening. The devil's listening too. And so when we have intimacy with God, when we learn to discipline ourselves, when we learn how to understand what we have through inheritance, we'll stop being hoodwinked. We'll stop being fooled. And we'll see that what God has for us is genuine. And so I'm going to close it out with the most difficult part about that, and it's the discipline part. And you don't have to discipline for something that you have in check. And so because I have it in check doesn't mean you have it in check, doesn't mean my sister has it in check or my brother has it in check, okay? And so we can have it seems like a lot of preachers, they get up and they'll preach on immorality, and they're 500 pounds. And so they don't see nothing immoral in their gluttony or their eating, but they don't have an issue with the immorality that they're speaking of, you know, in a sexual realm, difficulty in that area. And so now they think they have everything in check. No, we all have an area of difficulty that we're working with. Some people, difficulties are multiplied. And our Father is not turning his back on us, but he's telling us not to judge each other, to pray for each other and be good siblings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
While the Father is helping us control our difficulties, because if we can discipline ourselves, to say it simply, we get to the blessing sooner. If we discipline ourselves, we get to the blessing with less headaches and less scars and less bruises. And then if we discipline ourselves, we have less collateral damage. Okay?
Wow. Well, thank you, Pastor. I want to thank you, because we got 30 seconds left.
Yes.
I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio as we're talking about From the Altar to the Couch. And if you want to join us next week. We're going to be talking about finding a church home. And it's going to be on Tuesday. And on Monday, we're going to be talking about communicating with your ex. because a lot of us are still struggling with relationship and communication problems. So until next week, we look forward to hearing from you. And thank you for listening here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You need a minute?